So I want to start here by saying that, and I don't think this is a surprise to anyone, there are so many lines and words and passages and parts of Scripture that are confusing to so many people, and especially even to people who would call themselves Christian, right? I don't think that's a stretch to say that. One of those things is what we call God. I got into a conversation recently with someone who simply asked, why do we call God, God? I was like, that's a great question. I mean, it is, right? Like, I mean, why do we call God, God? And it actually then just so happened that in our men's Friday morning Bible study, we started talking about the Trinity that week, and it was fascinating to hear how that works, because nobody knows, right? The mystery of faith, how each part of the Trinity is in of itself God, and yet not the other parts of the Trinity. And so then I went into Scripture, and I wanted to unpack this some, and so I dug into Scripture and found all of these different names for God. Elohim, Creator God, first used in Genesis to name the divine as the one who creates all things forever, always, everywhere. And Adonai, meaning master or Lord, the one that we obey and honor and respect above all else. And El Roy, the God who sees me. This is one I think is important. It's first used by Abraham's wife Sarah's slave Hagar when she is forced out on her own into the wilderness with her son Ishmael, and she knows that God is the one who sees me, this personal relationship that she has with her Creator God. El Shaddai, God Almighty, the God who has all strength. El Elyon, the God Most High, God above all creation, outside of creation, and yet the creator of all that is. And Eyah Asher Eyah, the Hebrew for I am that I am, the name that the burning bush gives to Moses that he might share with the captive Israelites. And then, of course, Yahweh, which in the Jewish tradition is not pronounced, the tetragrammaton, the name never spoken because of how holy it is. And I think it's important that we recognize that each and every one of these is our human understanding. It's words that we use to describe God, right? I love stand-up comedy. And there's a comedian by the name of Pete Holmes. He has this hilarious stand-up comedy bit in which he talks about God. He's a professing Christian, and he says, "My God is not an old man in the sky. The word God is a metaphor for a mystery that absolutely transcends all categories of being, including being a non-being." And then he says, "But that's too much to put on the back of a quarter." He goes on to say, Pete Holmes goes on to say how perhaps the best description of God for him was shared by Barry Taylor. Does anybody know who Barry Taylor is? Barry Taylor is the rock band AC/DC's road manager. All right? Barry Taylor once said, "God is the name of the blanket that we put over the mystery to give it shape." God is the name of the blanket that we put over the mystery to give it shape. I like that. I think it's fascinating to think that the road manager for AC/DC came up with that, not some theologian or pastor. I think it's important that we as the church name the ways that we understand God, that we know God, that we recognize God. And we do not do this alone. That is why we our church together in community, this gathering of believers. And I think it's of vital importance that we recognize and realize that we only know God in the finite ways of human experience, right? Each and every one of us trying to understand, to know what cannot be known in our own individual and communal ways through our collective as well as individual experience. And even with all of the physics and the chemistry and the biology and the math and the science and the arts and the beauty and the crafts and the music and the song and the poems and words that we have, we still cannot perfectly define God. That is a part of the mystery. And yet we have to recognize, we have to understand, it is necessary for us in our faith that we as Christians know and acknowledge that Jesus, for us, as Christ followers, that Jesus provides for us who God is, what God does, where God goes, who God cares for, what God is about. It's one of the reasons why my favorite name for God is Emmanuel, God with us. Not with me individually, but with us. We can't do this alone. It means that we're all in this together. Emmanuel, God with us, in flesh, incarnate. I love using that word. And try mixing that up into your daily vernacular, your vocabulary out in the world, and see what people think. Be like, man, that was a really incarnational moment. That's your homework for today, right? Reverend Russell Moore, who is a pastor and ethicist and theologian and director of public theology project at Christianity Today, he recently wrote this. Several years ago, I started hearing from pastors getting pushback from political factions in their congregations that their sermons included even a glancing allusion to loving your enemy or turning the other cheek. What's startling is not the seemingly biblical illiteracy of those assuming the actual words of the incarnate Son of God are liberal slogans along the lines of visualize world peace. It's that when pastors explain that they are quoting Jesus from his Sermon on the Mount, the response does not change. That was fine for those times, the counter-arguments will go, but not in a culture that is hostile to Christianity. That, the Sermon on the Mount, doesn't work anymore. For this, we cannot be weak. We have to fight. What many perhaps do not realize or know or maybe imagine is how hostile Jesus' Sermon on the Mount was and how Jesus' teachings were so radical in the first century Judea. Roman occupancy of the territory where idolatry ran rampant and where crosses lined the roads into Jerusalem for anyone who dissented, where Jesus' words, not just spoken by Jesus, but by anyone, could lead to, and often did lead to, being arrested, tortured, and a violent death. And some Christians today in our culture, the culture of which we are a part, see the opportunity to be victim rather than the opportunity to show and share Christ's radical love and behavior. This belief and behavior of people who say that they follow Jesus but do not behave the way Jesus behaved, do not show and share the fruits of the Spirit, this may be the biggest blasphemy of modern Christians in America. I've been thinking about this a lot, how I co-lead a small group on Wednesday nights tonight, and it's made up of 20, 30, and 40-somethings. And when we talk about who in their friend circles are members of churches and professing Christians, they say, not many. And when we have these conversations, when we ask why, they say, a lot of Christians today don't follow Christ. And I struggle with that. And one person even said, and this is a gentleman in his 40s, he said, I work with a lot of 20-somethings, and when I tell them, not my church, they don't want to hear it. If we're honest, we know that what is keeping people away from a relationship with Christ all too often is the Christians. who don't live like Jesus. So what are we to do? What are we to do as Christ followers today? How are we called to be a reflection of Christ in the world? And I think it does get back to what Paul writes in Galatians about bearing the fruit of the Spirit. What does it look like to bear fruit? And again, I grew up on a farm, so you can plant lots of seeds and put lots of fertilizer on them, and y'all know what fertilizer is, right? You can put fertilizer on it, but it doesn't mean that the fruit's going to be good. But the fruit of the Spirit, when we truly allow ourselves to become vessels of the Spirit of God, allows us to experience, but also show and share love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. These fruit of the Spirit that people today are starving for. I've never met someone who didn't want to be loved. I've never met someone that didn't want to experience generosity and be generous. But I've met plenty of people who've been hurt by people. All right? We all have. We've all been hurt by somebody. And I say this because we've been seeing it happen here at Plattwoods Church, how people's lives are being changed. Last year, I think Pastor Evie shared this last night, I think we had 63 new members last year, and the year before that, we had, I think, 73 or 76. Something about this place is changing people's hearts. Not everybody's hearts, but when we open ourselves up to the Spirit and the fruit that is born of our being vessels of that Spirit, people notice. Other people notice. And this is what Christ is all about. It's about our transformation of the world. That's the Methodist mission, to transform the world for Jesus Christ, to see it come about. And the funny thing, I think this is, I preached a few weeks ago about how Jesus sees us as weird, that God sees us as weird, right? And I think it's true, because if you ever noticed that the fruit of the Spirit actually shouldn't work in our world. Right? They're not of this world. Jesus is not of this world. And that's why it is so radical to actually bear the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, have you ever been driving on the road and someone gives you the two-gun salute? You know what that is, right? I'm not allowed to do it in here. I'll get in trouble. Somebody gives you the finger, right? How do you respond? Do you have self-control? What's kindness look like in a moment of frustration and anger? Because oftentimes I blurt out something and then my son from the back seat says it too, and then I get in trouble from my wife. All right. It's happened. Not a lot of self-control, right? Not a lot of gentleness or kindness. But we have the ability, we have the way, we have the opportunity to be who Christ calls us to be. To be little Christs in the world. So today I want to ask just two questions. Who do you say Jesus is? It's the question that Peter is asked in the Gospel of Matthew. Who do you say I am? And if we call Jesus Creator God and Redeemer God and Sustainer God, if we call Jesus the one who sees me, the one who provides for me, the one who loves me, the one who teaches me, and maybe perhaps the best one, the one who is just simply with me, present with me, God with us. How does that call me to respond in kind? How does that call me to behave like Christ? And that's my second question today, is how will you live and be and behave like Christ? Can we, as Christ followers today, in a world that is desperate for love and for joy and for peace and for patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, how can we show and share those things and invite others to experience Christ? And then I want to just ask too, who are you called to encounter? That's a third question, sorry. Who are you called to encounter? Who are the people around you that need to feel this, to experience this, right? Is it the drug addicts or the sex workers or the rich or the poor? This is one, the Democrats or the Republicans. It's going to be an interesting year, y'all. Right? The liberal or the conservative, the dangerous or the odd or the hungry or the lonely or the tired or the angry, the desperate, the young, the old. Who is it around you that needs to see and to hear and to experience Christ through you? My grandmother, before she passed, used to say, "You might be the only Jesus someone ever meets." And it stuck with me because I was like, "That's a lot of pressure, Grandma. Dang." But she said, "You don't have to be perfect, but do the next right thing. And if you do the next right thing over and over and over, you'll be fine." Will you pray with me? Good and gracious God, in times in which we don't know what to call you, we know that you are simply with us. And for that, we give thanks for your presence in our lives, for the hope that you give us, God, for the joy that you give us, for the love that you give us, for the peace that you bring. Give us patience, God, with ourselves and with others. Help us to be kind in times that seem challenging. Help us to be generous and to receive others' generosity. Help us to be faithful, God, and to recognize your faithfulness in our lives. Help us to be gentle, God, and to receive it in kind from others. And help us to have self-control, even when things don't go the way we want. Help us to recognize and know that you always see us, that you always provide for us, that you will never abandon us. And all of this in the name of the one, Jesus the Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, we pray this day. Amen.